Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. We are joined on the radio today by Terry Heise. He is the head of school at Hope Christian School. And Kent Gray, director of facilities and transportation. He's the guy that has to keep everything clean during this strange time of COVID. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to be with you.
Nice to be here.
Well, I am excited to talk with you because I hope people will today. Maybe you're in your children are involved in public schools. Maybe you yourself are considering sending your child to school and maybe want to look at some alternatives. Terry, I've known you a really long time. I broadcast your state championship game many years ago on television when you were a basketball player at Hope Christian, and now you're the head of the school. So that's an amazing career. Our children grew up together. I'm so blessed. We had a chance to pray together before the show started, and I really do. I'm so thankful for Hope, and all of my children, all five of them, were blessed and encouraged their entire lives, literally from kindergarten all the way through high school. So strong work, my friend.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jim. It's been, it certainly has been a blessing. This is my 30th year here, and as you said, we go back a long time. I think that was back in 1985. I don't want to date us, but that was a while back when that state championship game was.
Terry, one thing you can be sure of, Terry, is you're never going to be old as me. So you're good.
That's right.
Well, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Kent. Kent, you're the director of facilities and transportation, and you're the guy that kind of has to keep everything really clean and disinfected. That, my friend, sounds like a big job.
Well, it's definitely been an undertaking for us to get where we're at now, but we have such a great team here that has all pitched in and done their part, and we're able to secure the proper cleaning chemicals and those sorts of things to begin with, and we have a team that prepares those things and passes them out on a daily basis, and of course there are requirements by our teachers after each session to clean and do those things to make sure we're keeping the standards that we're asked to, and a cleaning crew that comes in every night and does their part as well, and so we're fortunate to have those things in place, and we're able to add the additional items to keep us COVID safe, and so we're just blessed to be able to work in this environment and continue to be in-person learning.
Yeah. Terry, tell us a little bit about Hope Christian and your mission, and then maybe a little bit about how you've basically been open for business, open for school the whole school year so far, right?
Yeah. So, Jim, it's been quite the journey, obviously, not only because of COVID, but the school, opened in 1976 for its first year of operation. They were in a little church over on Phoenix, close to San Pedro, I believe. And I actually attended that school for 1 year. I know Kent attended there for a year as well. And that was the humble beginnings of Hope Christian School. And I believe it was in 1981 or 82, we moved over to where we are currently now at the high school. And we thought that we were just in a huge place from where we were. And, it was started by three different people. The main person was Wayne Ehlert, and he started it. I believe there was 50 or 60 students in that very first year. And he wanted to give an opportunity for students to have hope in life. And of course, offer the opportunity to insert Jesus Christ and Christianity into people's lives and have the opportunity to minister to them in that way. And now Hope, many, many years later, I think, 2020 is, 45, I don't know how many years that's been, but it's been quite the journey for sure. And I attended Hope, as you know, and then came back and started here as a teacher and then was a high school principal and now head of school in my fourth year. So it's just been a really neat journey to see this kind of unfold over the past four or five decades for sure. And, this year, was really, really different, obviously, starting in March. Everybody was on the same playing field and just didn't know what we were kind of dealing with until many months later. So it certainly has been a challenge, personally and professionally, but our board and our community was committed to offering in-person learning. We just really felt that that was the best thing for the overall well-being of students and their health and the social aspect, the spiritual aspect, and the physical aspect, and we felt we wanted to give as much normalcy as we possibly could.
Well, and it sounds like you've done a spectacular job. Kent, interesting to me to find out that you are an alumni of Hope Christian.
Yes, sir. Graduated in 1980. My wife as well graduated in 80. In fact, she works here also at the elementary campus. So been here for quite a while.
Yeah. Wow. What a neat story. There are a lot of people. In fact, I know a number of people on your board and everybody else that's been, you know, connected to the school in some way, in some fashion. And you've established not only, I think, a very highly successful academic institution. And the reason I say that is because, as I've already mentioned, I've had 5 children graduate. All of them did very well at Hope, and all of them have been hugely successful in college. So, Terry, just the preparation and everything that's gone into it academically. But here's the thing that is most dear to my heart, is all 5 of my children love Jesus and are walking with the Lord. And the thing I like most about that is not only that it's become Christianity and loving Christ is their faith now. It's not something that I talked them into or their mom talked them into. It's something that you allowed them to explore and ask questions and have doubts. And, you know, it just was a fabulous education. And I'm so glad that is continuing. I want to ask you, Terry, what did you learn? You mentioned in March when all of this stuff hit. What did you learn with you and your leadership team, let's say between March and May when school ended, that allowed you or prepared you for this upcoming year?
Yeah, that's a great question. We had a full 9 weeks, obviously, where we had to transition from everybody being on campus to everybody not being on campus, including the teachers, and that was just new, as it was for everybody. During those 9 weeks, at the end of the 9 weeks, we took several surveys during that time and realized from the feedback some of the things that we needed to improve on. And I went to our board and I just told them, I said, we don't really know what this is going to look like and what we're going to be able to start school with, but we have to be prepared kind of for the worst case scenario, you know, and it really prompted us to improve our technology in the classrooms, and that ended up with, I think we purchased 48 smart boards for the classrooms and 48 cameras, and for the middle school and the high school, they're all now fully equipped with those smart screens and the cameras. So they were very, you know, the board was very open and understanding to say, yeah, we need to do this to be able to transition if we need to. But we were also very committed to opening in person. And so fortunately, the doors opened that we were able to do that. We did get a little bit of a surprise just a few weeks before school started that we were going to have to be limited to 25%, and that really took some unique problem solving to be able to do that, which we're so thankful that we were able to do. So our leadership team spent many hours over the summer just planning and, you know, getting just little things like being able to secure enough cleaning supplies and the sanitation supplies in a mass quantity for the school year, you know, paper towels, paper goods, and then, you know, just little things like spray bottles were really hard to come by, and gloves, and everybody was kind of trying to do their part as far as getting as much as they could for their school, you know, and which is understandable. So fortunately, we had a good system in place. We had a return to school plan that we felt was effective, and by and large, we've been able to have in-person learning for the vast majority of our students for the course of the semester.
Yeah. Kent, I want to ask you about your team of people that, you know, help with the maintenance and everything. Are you just having to work them to the bone to keep the facilities clean and up to a standard that you want it to be at?
So, Jim, the way that it works here is we have a maintenance crew that works during the day, and they're primarily responsible for repair of, you know, different items that may break, per se. And then we also, during the day, have a day porter on every campus that is responsible to keep bathrooms clean, things like that. Our teachers are responsible for doing their own classrooms after every class session. And then after a normal day, then we bring in a full crew at night that cleans and sanitizes the campus each night. So the crew that comes at night is a contract cleaner that comes in and does the work for us, obviously meeting our standards and doing what we're asking them to do. So our staff is certainly well worked, and they have a lot of work to do. But I think overall we've met a good balance, and I think we're in a good place with that right now.
Yeah, Terry, you mentioned earlier in your comments that you felt like you really wanted to keep the children's mental health and spiritual health and physical health and all of those things. So you felt like in-person learning was really essential. Are you now maybe more aware or more sensitive to the fact that since you don't have sports and you don't have some of the other things like band and chorus and other things, are those things activities that the children are really, really missing, and they've become more and more important as time goes on?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think sports, and like you were mentioning, some of the programs and whatnot, I mean, we're having a Christmas program, but it's going to be a virtual Christmas program. You know, we're having NHS inductions, but it's going to be a virtual NHS induction. And so in all the sports, they're having to deal with, you know, practicing in pods of four or five. And it's really, really difficult on these students, you know. And I really do feel some sense of sorry for the people that can't go to in-person learning because they don't get to be amongst their friends all the time. Now, virtual learning is for some people, but by and large, the feedback that I've gotten from both students and the parents is that they are just so thankful to be able to be here, to be able to be nourished emotionally and spiritually just by being with each other, and then, of course, you know, being with their teachers as well. And so we do feel very, very fortunate and blessed that we're able to provide that for our population.
And are you hearing, I guess if a vaccine, and I don't know if you are preparing for all these contingencies, but do you anticipate maybe by March or April that things are going to be, I know it's a new normal. Everybody likes to use that term. It's never probably going to ever be the same, but do you anticipate maybe being able to get back to some sports like some football and some other things in the spring?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, I just got notice yesterday from that Sally believes that they're going to have to push back the start of spring sports from January maybe to February. It just seems like things are, you know, keep getting pushed back further and further. And I don't ultimately know what's going to happen, but we certainly do hope that the students, the athletes can get back to playing the sports that they love so dearly. You know, we all three were athletes in high school, and there's just something special about being able to, you know, play your games and practice together in a normal sense. And it certainly helps me, I know, and a lot of people appreciate what was the norm and being able to do things just the way it always was. And I think we can get back to that point. You know, I don't know when the vaccine is going to be available, and hopefully it'll be very, very effective, and we can get back to normal pretty quickly. Um, I I certainly hope so, for sure.
Yeah. We are with Terry Heise, the head of school at Hope Christian Schools, and Kent Gray. He's the director of facilities and transportation at the school. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how the students are doing academically and some more of the precautions and things that Kent has in place to take care of everybody during this time of COVID-19. We'll be right back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned. Children who are hurting and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, caring also takes dollars. You can help provide a home for these children with us by making a tax-deductible donation online at acch4kids.org or by calling us at 898-5520. 2020 has been a challenge for all of us. Our children are growing up in a safe and secure Christian home because of your generous support. At this critical time, we need your support now more than ever. We receive no state or federal funding. Please consider a year-end donation to help us continue to provide a loving home for our children. Go to acch4kids.org and click on the Donate Now button or call us at 898-5520.
God is love. God's love is intrinsic. It is as essential to God as light is to the sun, as blue is to the sky, as wet is to water. You don't make water wet, it is wet. In all of these cases, the attribute is intrinsic to the object. Take great joy in your God. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Scott Thom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Connect with us at crossfellowship.org.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of the other guys, old school, hokey games, and cheesy sales tactics, then come experience something new school at Power Ford. Our approach is simple. We make it all about you. Every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. And we also guarantee that we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Back in 2003, Ben Lucero and his wife Mila set out to create a different kind of mortgage company, one that would provide the highest customer service, integrity, and moral behavior. Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage. Call 836-5700 or go on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Terry Heise, head of school at Hope Christian School, and Kent Gray, the director of facilities and transportation, on the phone with us. And Terry, I'm already blessed to hear how well everything is going. I have to ask the question, have we had anybody get sick? Is it hard to, you know, do the exposure tracking and all of that?
You know, we've been, well, two things. We've been very fortunate that we have two full-time school nurses at Hope Christian School, and Crystal Mache is the lead nurse, and she does a wonderful job of managing the COVID cases along with Allie, our elementary nurse. And yes, we have had some COVID positive cases, very few in our student body, and so we have a system down and a routine that we have as far as putting into place what we need to do, and typically that involves some contact tracing of our community. And those students are, and or teachers sometimes, are asked to stay at home for a period of time. Typically it's 10 to 14 days. And so we've had that a couple times where we've had to do that on occasion. Fortunately, we've been able to do that pretty seamlessly, and the parents and the students have been really, really supportive of that. So, yeah, we have not escaped scot-free. In fact, we have, the first 9 weeks, we didn't have any cases at all for 9 weeks. And I think that's due to the seriousness that our student body and the staff took it. I mean, they're all wearing masks, and they're doing what they need to do to stay healthy and safe. We haven't had any staff yet with COVID positive tests, only several students, so that's been a good thing.
Kent, I'm going to ask you, this is an employee of the school. I mean, I could ask Terry, but he's the head honcho, so you get to, during this interview, you feel free to say what you want to say. Do you feel nervous about COVID working at the school, and how do you think the teachers feel about it? They want to work, it sounds like.
I can speak probably for most of our staff anyway. I don't feel nervous at all. I know we're taking the precautions. We're being safe. We're doing what is required of us by the state. And I feel comfortable that coming to work every day knowing we are doing what we have to do to be safe. I know what goes into that, you know, as far as the practices of cleaning and who's involved in all those things. And so I just have that, you know, that sense of security because I can trust what's happening here.
Mm. Well, and I know a lot of teachers, obviously, at Hope because of my time there and coaches and everybody else, and everybody just seems to be very positive. Terry, I don't want you to make any political comments, but I do want to ask you a question that if Michelle Lujan Grisham's office called you and said, Mr. Heise, would you come and give us some insights as to your best practices and how you've kept this under control and the successes, would you guys be willing to share that information with her?
Well, I don't want to make a political statement as well, but I think there's a couple of things here, Jim. I think we know by the data and the statistics that schools are not an area of high transmission, and the spread rate at schools is very, very low. The other is the ages of our students, you know, 5 or 4 to 3 to 18, is in that age range where they're not affected as severely as an older population. We have really just worked hard on trying to mitigate as much as we possibly can, educate our population. I don't know that we have the magic bullet, but I just know that it's been working really, really well for us. And, you know, I probably would have some advice or wisdom if she asked for it, but I'm sure she has a lot more smarter people than me around her to give her advice.
Well, Terry, and because I'm the host of the show, I get to say things, and maybe my boss will tell me to hit the road one of these days, but I have to say what I've been trying to do on this radio station is not criticize the governor's decisions. What I've been trying to criticize is the process that none of us are privy to. You know, I've talked to legislators, I've talked to state senators, people in the state house of representatives, people that have recently been elected, and I've asked them the same question. I said, are you participating in the discussions with the governor's office and their experts on the decisions that are being made about our citizens in this state? And they have all told me unequivocally and unanimously, no, we're not involved. And so all I'm trying to do is say, look, there are experts, and you're humble about this, but Terry, you and Kent are experts because you're in the front lines, you're doing the things that it takes to prove that you can live and you can be safe and people can still interact and have all the COVID-safe practices, but you have made it work. And I think that's just invaluable information. And I, for one, would love to see a conversation happening between you and the experts at the governor's office so that we can, as a community, start building these practices, start giving some comfort levels to the Albuquerque public schools and get a lot of these other children that have not had the fortune of being involved in school. You know, I'd love to see, you know, students get back to having the fellowship and the relationships that you've already pointed out are so valuable. But hey, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I just want to encourage the governor's office. If anybody's listening, hey, let's try to have a conversation, involve more of the community. We do have some great experts like Terry and Kent, and I'm glad that you would be willing to talk with her about that because I think you guys are doing a spectacular job. I want to talk about academics now. Terry, I talked to a couple of APS teachers, and they've kind of summarized what's happening in the Albuquerque public schools. They said in a normal time, prior to COVID, there's about 10% of the students in a class that are really high achievers, and they're doing very well. And I don't know if these numbers kind of equate with what's going on at Hope. 20% are kind of upper middle students. They're not great, but they're not bad. 30% of the students are basically passing, but they wouldn't, none of these teachers would classify these students as super interested or really applying themselves. And then there's 30% of the students that fall into a below acceptable type thing, but they right on the verge of flunking out and so forth. And then there's 10% that are really just failing. And that's prior to COVID. What they've told me is happening now with the online learning and stuff that's going on in the public schools, that this 30% that's right on the bubble is now moved into the absolutely failing category. How are your students doing in reacting to, you know, your use of technology that you deployed? Did you see that big fall off back in the spring when you deployed all that technology?
Before I answer that, Jim, and that's a great question, I do want to make sure that we all recognize that a lot of people are praying for Hope Christian School. Mm. And a lot of families, parents, grandparents, students, staff are praying for Hope Christian School for protection. And I don't think that we can minimize that, which the secular world does not really even they probably don't even look to for any kind of support or help. And I really do feel that, you know, Jesus Christ is really looking out for this school, as he always has been, and I don't want to minimize or downplay that fact, because our success is, you know, we have a lot of people praying for us, and so I just wanted to make sure that was brought out. It's not just the cleaning, the disinfecting, and so forth, but we do have a lot of people praying for us and for our school, so I just wanted to make sure that.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Academically, you think even in this past spring when you guys went to that virtual learning, did you see a big fall off on students failing or being successful?
Well, I think in the spring for sure, the evaluation meter just changed because we didn't know what to expect. And so, you know, the teachers were all in, the students were all in, and you were able to manage that for a while. But I'm a firm believer that for most people, for most students, and they'll tell me, and they've told me, that virtual learning is just not the same. You just do not get the same same outcome without being in person. And so I don't have the statistics in front of me as far as, you know, how our kids did and how they're doing exactly right now, but I do know that for the most part we've been able to stay in person, and so it's been pretty normal other than, you know, wearing masks and not having as many activities. But there is no doubt, you know, I read an article today where a student has to drive to an empty lot and park by an empty bus that has a access point, and they sit in their car for 5 hours just to be able to get access to the internet. And I just feel really, really bad for those students that are having to do those kind of things. And then there's the other 10% that just they don't even go to class. You know, they don't even attend, and where are they and what are they doing? So, again, we just feel very fortunate we were able to do what we're able to do.
Terry, I think two things based on what you just said. I think, first of all, everybody listening to this program today, regardless of what church you're involved in, we need to get prayer teams together to start praying over all these schools, because that is a great advantage that Hope has. And we need to be praying for all of these secular schools, all these public schools, even the private schools, and just that God will bless them and protect them, because our children, regardless of what they believe, are all very, very valuable. And we want the Lord to be able to raise them up and speak to their hearts, and we're not going to be able to do that unless we take care of all of our children today. Kent, I want to ask you, as you have been a student and now you're employed by the school, how has hope blessed you and your life over the years?
I could just go on and on. I'm just really, really fortunate. I actually met my wife here as well. And so obviously we've been married now for a very long time and just really blessed ever in life. But it's life-changing. I retired from a job that I was at for nearly 30 years, and this is my retirement job, and it's just such a different environment. And I can definitely tell you that the difference in environment is day and night. Not that the other place is so poor, but that this place is so great. And you can feel the Lord's presence here, and I'm just really blessed to be here.
Terry and Kent, I appreciate you so much. We've already blown through 30 minutes. You guys were so gracious to join us. So glad to hear about all the good things happening at Hope Christian School. And I do want to give out hopechristianschool.org is the website. If you're interested in talking with Terry and his staff, you can reach out to them and find out about school and all the things that are going on great at Hope Christian. I know Hope's been a great blessing to me, Terry. So thank you guys for joining us today on ABQ Connect.